Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
So I apologize. This is such an important show. Even though I'm out of the studio, I wanted to definitely have it so that we could once again give a summary, a synopsis of what's going on with Obamacare, because this is the last time we're going to have a show before this crucial election. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this election, a lot of drama, a lot of, how can I put it? It's putting everybody on edge, to put it mildly. But I want people to really just focus for today's show on exactly what's going on in our healthcare system. Last week we had a physician on who talked about what it's like on the hospital side and how the standard of care has changed through the unfolding of Obamacare. And yesterday was the beginning of open enrollment. And I think finally everybody is on the same page that doctors have been on since this thing was written and since it went into law. And people have been shielded from the real consequences of Obamacare for 4 years. Everything's been going on around them. They've been not paying attention. But this is now the point where if you don't pay attention to what's going on, you are setting yourself up for healthcare costs and a healthcare system that you had no idea was coming, depending on who you choose for this election. This show is not a partisan show at all, but it's about telling the truth. And the truth is, the choices that are given to us and the platforms of each candidate are integral to either doubling down on Obamacare, picking one choice, or scrapping this nonsense and starting over in a way that will build it from the bottom up, which is a doctor and patient level up. So I don't, Dave, you don't, did you get new premiums? I'm not sure if you are in open enrollment season or not. Has it affected you at all?
No, but I think across the board everybody realizes that we are affected. I'm not involved in it at all. We have our own insurance, but those premiums went up approximately 5%.
That was last year or this year?
That's for next year.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, you're in great shape compared to most people.
Oh, yeah.
People have gone up 50%. And in Arizona, if no one's heard about this, they're going up 116%. And we're talking about the middle of the road plan, the silver plan. But what people don't talk about is it's not just the premium. It's the out-of-pocket after you pay the premium. So it's awesome for people to talk about, hey, the premium's only going up a certain amount. We want to cover everybody. It's a complete shell game. I've said it before. I want people to really focus today on the concept of just because you have health insurance, doesn't mean you have access to quality health care. They are not the same. They are actually mutually exclusive in this kind of system. The insurance company's goal, just to reiterate, is to make money. It's not to cover you and make you whole. It's to take your money, put it into their coffers, make interest off of it, and then deny you care by any means necessary. The first way they do it, and again, it's written by the RAND Corporation. If you go back on the Internet and Google the RAND, R-A-N-D Corporation, they did a study about cost shifting or HMOs, the health maintenance organizations, and how insurance companies can be set up in a way to save money in terms of overall cost of healthcare and how that would affect patient care. And their conclusions were pretty stark. They said basically that if you cost shift to the patient, if you make them pay more in deductibles, more in premiums, more in coinsurance, then they won't use the system, that they won't go to the doctor, get the lab test, go to the hospital because they can't afford it. But the flip side of it was, the other conclusion was, it damages patient care because they delay treatment. So there's a balancing act. You have to understand when they say saving money in the healthcare system, that does not ever equal quality health care. It can't, because they're mutually exclusive. If your doctor orders you a test for a condition and it's denied, and you wait to get that test because, one, you can't afford it, or two, it's denied, then whatever disease process you have potentially is going to get worse. I mean, it's just common sense. So if they're telling you off the bat that they're happy that the costs of Obamacare have dropped, and then they're touting all sorts of savings, trust and believe it's on the backs of patients. Who else is it going to be on the back of? It's not the insurance company. Don't believe that statement that they're losing money hand over fist. If that were the case, then their stock prices would drop. They wouldn't be buying other insurance companies and becoming too big to fail. I highly doubt that any of those companies are going anywhere near out of business. What they're having to do is actually pay out maybe a little more than what they used to pay, maybe. But on the flip side, as a physician, we've gotten denials, a mountain of denials on procedures, on on surgeries that used to be approved. Now they're actually saying you need a pre-cert, or they're experimental, or they're denied. And Dave, I told you last week that we got a letter from Humana, which is one of the insurance companies, that now have a pre-cert. That means you have to go to them to get approval for things like cardiac arrhythmia, for breast biopsies, for breast surgeries. Are you kidding me? So these are the things that you don't want to wait for denials for or to get approval. If you're having chest pain and arrhythmia, you want to go to the cath lab. You want to get something done. You don't want to have to wait on the phone, or maybe make it a 3-day, which they like to do, or a week before you can get approval. I mean, this is ridiculous. So they're doing this on all levels, and it's very subtle. And so you end up in the system, and you end up needing help. That's when you figure out in a bad time that you're left with a short straw. And if you want the service, either you're going to have to pay for it out of pocket, and if you can't afford that, you're going to have to deny yourself. And that's part of what we're looking at coming forward in Obamacare. Now, I don't know about you, you know, you're a small company like I am, but imagine all the other small businesses out there who were trying to cover their employees. What happens to them now? They're going to have to, I guess, let them go or either stop covering their health care. And again, this is all designed to make us run down the same maze road, or, you know, the same steps in the maze in order to get to the end point, which is government-controlled health care. I mean, do you see it any differently?
I think that what we're seeing, and you've had guests on that are of the same mindset, is that you get away from messing with insurance totally, and small businesses and individuals can go to alternative plans. You know, there's the pay direct pay care, which is going to a physician. Those physicians know the labs where you can go get the test done for a third of the cost or a fourth of the cost of what it would be going through an insurance company, and you get it immediately. You know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about the patient and the doctor sitting in the exam room, and there's a big wall, talking about building a wall, there's a big wall between them, and you've got somebody hundreds, thousands of miles away deciding whether you need the test or not. That, and they're not touching you, they're not seeing you, they don't know you, they haven't talked to you for the last 15 or 20 minutes about this condition, and they're making the decision. So they're really putting a big wall between the patient and the doctor.
Well, you know, that's part A, but if you take it further, they're being paid to deny you care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what an accountable care organization is, and that's the setup that the Affordable Care Act has rolled out under the guise of value-based medicine. I love all these euphemisms. They sound so rosy, you know, sweetness and light, but they're so toxic, it's not even funny. So the accountable care organizations, and we'll probably have to take a break in a couple minutes, but I want to lay that out for people once again. It is a government-driven program where the government gives a system, and the system consists of a hospital, its doctors, its nurses, ancillary staff, any private physician's office who is linked to the hospital because they're on staff, and they're a satellite branch, so it means they sold their practice to the hospital, or they somehow get monies directly from the hospital to deliver care. So it's a pretty big system we're talking about. Government gives the hospital the money at the beginning of the year, and at the end of the year, profit is made by how much money stays in that pot. That money is paid out over time by doing hospital work, doing procedures, doing tests, ordering consults. This is all a centralized system. And this big system is designed to ration care, because if you give a senior, for example, a CT scan, a consult for ear, nose, and throat, consult to orthopedics, and a hip replacement, all that money that's paid, that's costing the hospital to give that service, is taken off their bottom line. So if you multiply that by the hundreds, thousands of procedures that are done, labs, et cetera, then you get a system that's going to start to become really bare bones of what they offer their patients. You're going to come in for your pneumonia. You're going to stay for the 4 days that the government says that they'll pay for the pneumonia. And on day five, whether or not you're better, you're going out that hospital one way or another, whether that be hospice, whether that be skilled nursing, whether that be back home with telemedicine, whatever they got to do to move you out of the system, out of their system, so that you're not costing the brick-and-mortar money, is what they're going to do. And so ultimately, we're seeing the rise of telemedicine, the rise of anything to treat you outside the hospital as an equal standard to actually someone talking to you and examining you and actually treating you. And on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Again, I'm trying to break down the nuts and bolts so you can see clearly what's going on with our healthcare system and the direction it's moving in. Or, you know, it's not moving, it's here. So, fortunately, if most people are healthy, they're not seeing this, and God bless you if you're healthy. But let's pray that you stay healthy. Because if you end up in this system carrying commercial insurance or government-based insurance, you're in for a rude awakening. And we have a chance now, the last chance I think we're ever going to have, to fix this fiasco. If you listen to all of the people who talked about the British system, the Canadian system, how wonderful they are, and how we should move towards that socialized medical senior single payer system, I have news for you. It's come out every year, months, you know. Sometimes you're hearing stories daily, depends on what websites you go on the disaster that they call healthcare. People are denied care. If they're old, they're not given care in the UK. That was the case when I was a kid. I remember that their healthcare was skewed towards a younger population, and seniors didn't get big-ticket items, surgeries. Well, over the course of time, that's gone to younger people. It's gone to diseases that are costly. And now they have a system that's so broken, so bloated, so, it's lost so much money that they actually have created or farmed out the management of their public health system to private entities. So you have private contractors now running parts of their public health system. And the private side, where people go into that to just pay to get what they want done, is thriving. Same thing in Sweden. They have a whole private healthcare system there now because the public one is going bankrupt and it doesn't work. So we're taking a system that was the envy of the world. You know, it had its problems, but it's nothing like it's going to have and has already. And it wasn't designed for delivering healthcare. It was designed to control every bit of what happens to you and your doctor in that exam room, with the mindset of making money off of you, controlling your choices, making the decision about what goes in your body or what doesn't, and at the end, deciding whether you live or die. That's totally unacceptable for some bureaucrat or politburo, if you want to call it that, it's what it is, to decide who's worthy. And you know they're going to decide that their crony friends, their corporate friends are worthy. They've given them all sorts of freebies, and it's never enough. So all these insurance companies, for example, who've come out of the exchanges and have cried poor, they were actually double-dipping. So the government had a whole program where every insurance company that entered the exchange would give money for their estimation of how many people they needed to have in their pool to make money. So if they had 100,000 people that they said that they needed to stay open, and they had 50,000 people signed up, the government would pay them for the other 50,000 to make it 100. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? So the whole system was completely, it's a cash bank, a piggy bank for the insurance companies and for the government. I'm not sure you caught this, Dave, but in the last debate, Hillary Clinton said that because of Obamacare, the trust fund or the monies to Social Security had been, you know, had gone up. Remember, that's also a bankrupt system. So think about it. Where did that money come from? It came from fines. It came from people paying for their premiums and, of course, not getting health care. So you're getting double taxed. If you go into the Obamacare system, you're paying premiums. They deny you care. They limit your doctor role. Basically, they're taking money from you. If you don't go, you have to pay a mandate, which is a tax, which goes into, I mean, this is a lose-lose situation. Whether you go into it and pay, or whether you decide, I'm not going into it and pay, they're using that money for something else. They're claiming it's for putting, you know, helping prop up Medicare and Social Security, but, you know, this is like a shell game. That money should never have been messed with in the first place. It's full of IOUs in the Social Security system, as we all know. And the Medicare system is one of the, Medicare and Medicaid is probably one of the biggest expenditures for the government. But, you know, let me ask you this question, Dave. If rent's like the number two thing that we pay for, how on earth can it be run so poorly that you have to keep pumping money in and it keeps losing, but the care is substandard? You're waiting longer. You're getting less choice. Where's the money going? Isn't that a good question?
there's this big hole in Washington D.C. that all of that money just keeps it's a black hole that it goes into and nobody knows what happens to it. It's sort of like Hillary and the State Department losing $6 billion. And you know the sad part about it is you and I. We can't audit it and find out. We don't know. And I don't know that we won't ever know. But it's amazing. If I were to guess, I would say there's some Golden Line pockets in D.C.
I see you have a pretty safe bet there. I mean, you can also go back to the previous administration when, Rumsfeld said he didn't know where money went in the Department of Defense. Right? It disappeared. Billions, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have these, as soon as there's a cash cow, someone's always there to hoover up that extra money. And we're talking about life and death here. We're not talking about, you know, arbitrary things. We're talking about somebody's loved one, yourself, who in good faith pays into a system, who makes a contract with the insurance company, with the government, that I'm going to pay in and you're going to help me when I need it. The fact that that's being completely stepped on should make people outraged. And I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, progressive, conservative, I don't care. This is about decency, about someone's word, about honesty. And the system is not built on that at all. And the fact that the Hippocratic Oath, which is the standard that every physician, well, not maybe back in when I did it, every physician took, to protect the life of the patient, to not take financial, not take a risk with someone's finances or take money from people. I mean, there were standards in the healthcare system for a physician that are completely run over in this system. And we talked about it last week. Every doctor who signs a contract into a hospital, even into an insurance company, is putting the Hippocratic Oath on the back seat. Because the fiduciary responsibility, the pressure, is for the doctor to go along and get along, or you won't be working. or you will be sidelined, or you will be sanctioned, or you will be jailed in the system. That puts a chilling effect on the doctor-patient relationship. And I've talked to physicians who had their livelihood snatched from them because they wanted to do the best thing they could for their patient, or they wanted to come up with a novel way to treat their patient, but because their colleagues were jealous, they whistle-blew on them, lied about them, and the government arrested them. I mean, what kind of system is this where it used to be you could be an honest broker, you could tell the truth to your patient, you could try alternate medical procedures and alternate care, holistic, functional medicine. What happens if the system comes online and it becomes completely government-based and corporate-controlled? Innovation like not using chemotherapy for cancer, for example, or using natural means to cure pneumonia, or whatever you want to do, will be outlawed in this system. Think about it. They can't possibly have an alternate treatment that puts pressure on the standard of care. If people see that you can get an alternate treatment that's cheaper, that works, that's not toxic, then you've just broken the monopoly of a healthcare system that's built on coercion, on pay to play, on too big to fail. It's the same thing. It's the same template that you get with the banking system, with government in general. And thank God for WikiLeaks for seeing this roll out in front of our faces that we can actually read for ourselves and see the mindset of these folks. They take that same mindset to every aspect of our society, but they hide it by making distractions daily, distractions, race baiting, class fighting, men versus women, North versus South, every little microaggression they could possibly, or micro group they can create and to make a victim so they can say someone else did it to them is what their modus operandi has been for the past 8 years. And if you pick wrong, you're going to see it for another 4 to 8 years. I'm not sure our country can survive that. Are you?
Not at all. It scares me to death. And again, I don't understand why more people why everybody doesn't realize this, except for the freeloaders that don't want to realize it. They just think they've got it wrapped up with the government.
I wish people would think critically for a second. If you depend on something else, someone else, to control your livelihood, or they're giving you money to help you pay for your housing, giving you money to help you pay for your food, giving you money to help you pay for your education, money to help pay for your health care. You're living on the largesse of the government. When they decide, and who knows when that'll be, but we can see it historically, when they decide that it's too expensive or you're not worth paying for anymore, they find ways to stop doing that. And if you are beholden to them and they withdraw that EBT card or it stops working for a week, what are you going to do? I mean, people need to think about it in that term. It's great when it's working, but when you run out of other people's money, it stops working. Was it Margaret Thatcher who used that analogy? But it's true. You have to have enough people paying into the system to keep this type of infrastructure afloat. And I don't understand how anybody can think taxing someone 70% who's supposedly on the higher end because they need to share the wealth. Well, maybe you can do it a couple of times, but on the third or fourth time, either that person's no longer wealthy or they've left the country. And then what are you going to do? This is not a sustainable system. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe you can answer what you think about this as well, but does it make more sense to put more people to work, have them all pay a smaller amount with a higher pool? You end up with more money, don't you? Than if you try to keep the pool small, tax the heck out of a small bit of the population and try to, suck them dry, that's not, which is sustainable to you?
There's no question. We need to take a break, but I'd like to address that when we come back, if you don't mind.
Sure. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
All right, welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, prior to the break, we were connecting the dots between what's going on with the economy and the things that they're trying to put forth that really don't make a lot of common sense, as opposed to ways to tie that to how the healthcare system is working.
Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There is, I'm not sure anybody's read this, but if you go to my Medicine on Call Facebook page, there's an article about Vermont and about something that they're calling the all-payer model as the template or the pilot state in the country that's bringing about single-payer. So what they're trying to do is have all commercial insurances and government insurances pay the same rate for any health care delivered and try to equalize what they call equalize, the costs delivered to hospitals and doctors. So whether you take commercial insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, doesn't matter. You're going to get paid the same no matter what it is. And it's sanctioned by Sylvia Burwell, the head of the Medicaid and Medicare, and working well with the government. Of course, I'm sure they're going to get a payment from the government to set up this pilot. But the system is designed to become a model of single payer in the country. And no one's really talking about this from the patient perspective, but what's going to happen is you're going to have doctors leave the state because they can't, especially private doctors, they're going to leave because they can't afford to keep their practice open and see their patients. And I wrote on my section of the Facebook entry that it's going to accomplish six things. As will single payer, if it ever comes online, it will end private practice for physicians. It's what Hillary Clinton wants to bring online. It's Hillary Care. And the end point is, if any doctor does stay in that system, they will have to practice medicine using the guidelines set forth by the government in terms of evidence-based medicine, value-based care, all the alphabets. You have to use the government contractors to run your labs through. It's all a crony-based system. It's been set up so that there are winners and losers, and you only have one choice to make depending on what the problem is. It might not be surgery. You're not going to ever get that offer. It might be using the most expensive lab in your town because Medicare makes it a designated lab to send your blood work to, even though you've never liked that lab or you've had problems with that particular lab. That has to be the one you go to, otherwise it won't be paid. I mean, these are things that are nuts and bolts changes that you won't see unless it affects you. And it will always affect the pocketbook of the patient. That, I think there's no question about that. Last week we talked with Dr. Dorio about the fact that if you get admitted to the hospital under the wrong designation, or you stay past your diagnostic-related time, then that the government won't pay for you, and that becomes the responsibility of the patient. And they don't tell people that until they get discharged and get stuck with the bill. Well, I can imagine all sorts of people in all sorts of duress after coming out of a hospital setting or getting care in the system where they, no one talks to them. They just do things to them. The next thing you know, they are hit with bills that can bankrupt them. And as far as the subsidies go, I want to revisit that. They're not freebies. If you get a subsidy under Obamacare, if you use Medicare or Medicaid and you pass away, that money is owed by your estate. So you can't pass wealth to your loved ones if you end up in the last days of life and you end up passing away and you went into the government health care system. Same thing goes for Obamacare. But you don't have to die to get hosed in that system. If you make more money the next year after receiving a subsidy, they will repatriate that money back to the government by taking away your tax return, because it's not a gift, it's a loan. So if you go to the next economic level, you're going to have to pay back what you got. I think there's a lot of peculiar incentives in this whole system to make people not want to achieve, to not want to make more money, to not work or enter the system. It's designed to keep you dependent. I mean, Dave, don't you remember when they were doing the the insurance when you lose your job? I forget what it's called now. I'm drawing a blank on it. But it was more money to stay at home than it was to actually work. And then they extended it almost indefinitely. So you were making a ton of money by sitting on your couch than you were looking for a job. That is a terrible system. And it started off the process of a third of the country being unemployed and on some sort of government assistance. So you have a shifting from independence to dependence. The government's complaining about how expensive everything is, so they need to raise taxes. It's a complete, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's like a something chasing its tail. But the ultimate thing is to have the money transferred to the government in whatever form they deem, parcel it out to the population in the way they deem, and ultimately your incentives to go out there and put your ingenuity on the line to, you know, open up, go out of faith and open up a business, that's being stripped from everybody. And we're supposed to just work for big business, you know, McDonald's or whatever's left open, and like getting no tips and getting paid less than $30,000 a year is the average amount of money that people made in our new economy. So you've gone from making good money to making pittance. And I can tell you, if they raise to $15 an hour, there's going to be more job loss and more robots coming in to take their place.
Have to be. You know, something along the unemployment insurance was the government making women into baby factories where they'd have 5-6 kids and they'd be on welfare making $1,000 a kid per month. And, you know... I guess you could call that a business of sorts, but look at where the children are today.
Well, it doesn't have a good outcome, and we talked about this in the break. One thing that I think every human being strives for is to be independent, is to have a purpose, to have something that challenges them intellectually, physically. So these are things that I think that make people whole and that make them centered. When you take them away from somebody and they lose that, they become angry, they become depressed, they become listless, and they become non-productive. And they also become docile. Or they become violent, but they want the docile side of it, I think. Where you just say, okay, nothing I can do, it's just me. Why bother? Why try? I'll just take what you give me and like it. That's exactly the system that we're moving towards, and that they want.
And then what have we got?
We've got slavery is what we've got. And I'm not talking about politically speaking, but reality, if you disarm a population, you have ultimate control over them. Because if you get out of line, you're going down. like I do for doctors. If you get out of line, you start becoming an advocate for your patient, they will withdraw your privileges. They will withdraw your freedom because you have a mind and you're exercising it. I mean, this is a big picture here that we're talking about, using healthcare as the example, but it's all ultimately going to be moving towards the same goal. You have to give up your freedom for someone to protect you, for someone to feed you, for someone to control you. I mean, we've been living in, is it the war on terror now for how many years? And we've given up all our so many freedoms. You can't even go through an airport without being patted down or going through some sort of, X-ray machine. But are we safer? I don't think we are. We're in the same position we were before. It's like going back and fighting all these wars over again in Iraq. Why? Didn't we win these things? And should we be moving on by now? But it's like the same cycle repeating itself over and over again. It's up to us at this point, because I think we've done our job in terms of trying to elect people who say that they're for stopping this, that they're against it, but they're actually not. I think that's barely borne itself out over the past 8 years, in my opinion. And now it's our turn to make our voices heard and to put them on notice. I don't think there's any other way. Do you?
No. And we've got to get... People have to understand this is the time to get out in masses. That's the only way we're going to win over the potential voter fraud or the rigged machines or whatever, is to be there so strongly that there is no question. And I
absolutely agree.
You know, and one area that you haven't mentioned that is part of it, and this is part of their game plan too, in my opinion, that is, like you said, this is our last chance, and it also is our last chance to make sure that we have a fair constitutional Supreme Court. That's the bottom line, because at some point, all of this will, just like Obamacare, went to a loaded Supreme Court, and it came back as a tax. Baloney. So we have to remember that this election is not just about personalities, or not just about Obamacare, but it is about Obamacare, but it is about who we're going to have in the Supreme Court for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years.
I absolutely agree. And how many decisions will they make that will ultimately affect every single one of us? From a healthcare standpoint, what I'm looking at down the road is, for example, forced vaccinations. That's a huge possibility in this type of healthcare system, that they decide what becomes standard of care, that your child, that you, your mom, your dad will be forced to take the next vaccine up. And they're coming up with daily vaccines, and some of them aren't tested. The science behind it is up in the air for things that are already out there that are questionable as to whether they're safe or they're causing diseases. It's all about choice. I think we need to really take a step back from all of the distraction. It's designed to make us turn off intellectually, turn on emotionally, work against our interests. And I just challenge everybody listening to the show, ask yourself this one question. And it's been asked before, are you better off now than you were 8 years ago or 12 years ago? Or, from the 80s, are you better off now than you were then? As a physician, I'm not. As a working person, I'm not. As an American, I'm not. On any level, I'm not happy with the direction of the country. Does it really make sense? If you feel that, if you said anything like that, to pick up any party that wants to take you back and put in a candidate who represents and is in totally indoctrinated and incorporated into a system that is designed to do exactly what we don't want to happen. And it's been proven under WikiLeaks, really, seriously. How can anybody vote for somebody because they're a woman or because it's my time? Are you kidding me? That is the stupidest reason, honestly, to vote for somebody than I could ever think of. What about their policies? If you're a working class person, it's not just the rich who are going to get 65% taxes, and the rich are considered $250,000 and up. $250,000 is a small business. It's two people working in a family, a couple of jobs. That's you. That's your payroll tax going up as a working person, your Medicare tax going up. You're taking home less money. And for those that think $15 an hour is awesome, let me just be the one to bear bad news. So you end up in the next tax bracket and you lose your subsidy to Obamacare, or you get taxed more because you're now in a higher tax bracket. Well, let's face it, most people in the country don't pay taxes. But under the system, while they're trying to tell you it's going to soak Warren Buffett, et cetera, you're going to be paying money a hand over fist between your health care, between not getting a reimbursement for your tax return, in terms of paying more money to see your physician. I mean, the list is endless of all the money that's going to come out of your paycheck and that you won't be able to afford. And nothing's being done except to sucker you in to doubling down, tripling down on the same thing that's been going on for 8 years while putting a fake lipstick on it, literally, by having a woman run it. Are you kidding? Let's wake up, folks.
With that, you want to take our last break and come back in just a second?
Absolutely. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, last thing I wanted to discuss that people aren't aware of is the movement towards physician-assisted suicide as a healthcare choice. And the fact that the government is not only sanctioning it, but encouraging it. I guess maybe about a year, maybe 2 years ago, Medicare started covering, paying for doctors to talk about end-of-life decisions. They won't pay for your hip replacement. They won't pay for what, quote-unquote, experimental treatment, cancer care. But they'll pay for your doctor to sit and talk to you about how you can end your life. And we're seeing a movement, just like medical marijuana, we're seeing, recreational marijuana, with physician-assisted suicide popping up in states. Vermont, and I mentioned it before, has tried it, and their take on it was that if your doctor doesn't want to talk to you about it, then that doctor, if it has ethical or moral objection, they have to refer that patient to a doctor who will talk about it. So basically, your religious objection, be damned. And that's it. I mean, that seems to be the modus operandi of the government now. It's unbelievable. But they're doing it. I think they've passed it in California, I believe. They've passed it in D.C. That's the most recent iteration of it. And by the end of this exercise, we'll have it all across the country. And it'll become, you know, option two, or maybe option one, who knows? We talked about last week. Someone is going to decide that it's cheaper to kill you than it is for them to take care of you. And they're going to use all sorts of mind techniques to make you think that if you're senior, you've lived a nice life, you should give it up and give it to the younger folks. If you're a doctor being training now, you're literally hostile, and I've seen that, hostile to seniors, where it's almost like it's their fault that they're sick, and they should stop complaining and just go along easily. It's the empathy in the healthcare system is being removed in place of a financial mindset. You know, it's all about the bottom line. It's all about helping the entity, this living, breathing entity, this accountable care organization, thrive at the expense of everything else. It's not a good system, folks. It's just not. And our choice, aside from the election, I think the election choices are stark. I mean, it's black and white to me on so many levels, except if you decide you want to just ignore things and just put your head in the sand and want to be deceived, then this election's for you and you have a candidate. But if you have any inkling about this is not right, and I'm not sure how many people actually cannot feel that way after everything that's come out, then you have to use your common sense, use your judgment, and think about your future. Because right now we know what the past is. We're living it. It's not great, and they want to double down on it and make it bigger. Mm-hmm. You can't fix Obamacare. You can't tinker with Obamacare. You need to get rid of it. And again, I want to go back to the last debate, what Hillary Clinton said about, you know, it can be fixed. what she really means, and she said it, is to expand Medicaid, to expand Medicare. That means dropping the age from, I think it's what, I forget how old, 65 right now? It's down to 55 to qualify you for Medicare. And then to increase the amount over the poverty limit that will make you eligible for Medicaid. Right now it's 400% excuse me, 400% over the poverty line makes you eligible for Obamacare, which is Obamacade, essentially. I bet you they'll raise it to maybe 600% of the poverty line. So by lowering the age, increasing the people who are eligible, they will essentially bring in single payer by Medicaid and Medicare for all. That's what the goal is. And ultimately, we talked about what it's like being on those two healthcare plans. They're terrible. I've had shows talk about, from a child perspective, Medicare children are more likely to be put on psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, antipsychotics, than children who are not on Medicaid. Imagine a whole country full of young children who are doped up in some way. What kind of damage long-term will that do to their brain? What about, it's just mind-boggling how they can eventually affect the entire country based on driving this system into existence by fear, by intimidation. And now this latest thing is by pricing you out. They think that if you can't afford Obamacare, and I think, Gruber was right. He's right that it's doing what it was designed to do. He's absolutely right. It was designed to break up the commercial private insurance market, drive those patients into Obamacare government-based insurance, have that become so expensive that you literally roll out and expand Medicaid and Medicare. It's brilliant in its simplicity, but it's toxic in the thought process and what it's really going to do to people. And whether or not you're going to vote in this election, I hope you do, because if you don't, you're voting for the same old, same old. And if you think that it doesn't affect you, it will affect you in every single way. Whether or not you're going to be able to get a job that pays you something that's worth living on, whether or not you're going to have control of your healthcare choices and your physician, whether or not you're going to be able, if you get diagnosed with something catastrophic, be able to receive treatment, or whether you'll be warehoused into a hospice palliative care track, which is growing by the day. And paying a system from the time you live, are born to the time you die, and basically just taking what you get, liking it, and shutting up and going along and getting along. Do you really, does anybody want to live in a system like that, whether you're progressive, conservative? I honestly don't believe that most people want to be controlled like that. And those that want to do it to you are technocrats, oligarchs. All the names that you've heard, it's not right. And we have a chance now, ultimately, to make a difference. I've made my choice. I hope everybody else there listening to our show over the past 4 or 5 years, or some that have come recently, will go back and do their own due diligence, do your research, take your emotion out of it, and really consider what's best. Not what you're told is best for your age, your race, your sex, but what's really best for you as an individual. I think if you do that, and you know, you really do it with an open heart and intellect, you'll come away with the right choice for you. And I guess that's all I have to say on the subject, Dave.
Well, I would like to add one little thing to it, and that is that should the worst happen, we still have alternatives. And you've addressed these alternatives many times, and I think this would be the route that we go. We've tried to point out over the years what Obamacare means. If it should go further, I think we would be pointing out the alternatives. And I think we've got a lot of doctors that are waking up to it, and that, you know, the great thing about the United States and our populace is that when we've been faced with adversity, we come up with an answer to it one way or the other. And I think the people that support Obamacare and support a one-payer system will find that they'll be alone at some point on the Hill by themselves.
I agree. And they're not going to like it.
Not at all.
On that note. Sorry?
Not at all will they like that.
No. But, you know, it's not about control. It's about individuality, individualism. And I'm all for that. I'm not a collectivist. I'm an individual. An individualist, if that's a word. And I want my power. I want to make my own decisions no matter what it is. And that's what drives me. And on that note, good luck Election Day, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Thanks, Dr. George.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.